Good morning. Thank you for having me here this morning. I really appreciate the opportunity to be with you and to share these words with you. Carolyn and I have known each other for a long time. We have worked together in a special study group for a number of years. And I was so pleased that you all applied for and received the Clergy Renewal Grant. What a gift. What a wonderful gift. And thank you again for inviting me here. Have you ever just wanted to get away by yourself for a little while? You know, get away from the busyness of life all by yourself. Such is the feeling many of us might have when life takes too big a chunk out of our spirit. At this time of year, I fondly recall the joy of the sabbatical I took 9 years ago. Downey Avenue and I enjoyed that sabbatical time, also compliments of the Lilly Endowment. It gave me much needed rest and time away, which is, of course, the reason why people take sabbaticals. That comes from the word Sabbath. In the Jewish tradition, of course, the time away for rest and prayer and reflection is required on a regular basis. So your pastor, Carolyn, is enjoying some much-needed rest now during the sabbatical time that she was granted through the Lilly Endowment. Jesus was in the habit of going away by himself to rest and pray. And I think those times were very useful to him and helpful as well. As Ron reminded the children earlier, that before this story that I just read took place, Jesus had fed the multitudes at the water's edge. And now he had gone away to pray. Before that, he had been praying. He'd gone away to pray and had gotten the news about his cousin John's death. But that time away was cut short by the news of all those people by the shore, that gathering of 5,000 men and some women and children. Jesus not only healed many of them, he saw to it that they had something to eat. And our story today picks up from that point. Matthew tells us that Jesus immediately made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side. He compelled them to go. Then he dismissed the crowd and went up by himself to pray. This time he was able to pray for a pretty good long time. I believe that he used this time for both rest and renewal. He knew his work wasn't finished and wouldn't be finished anytime soon. And he also understood from where his strength to continue would be coming. Now, meanwhile, the disciples were far from the land, out in the boat, which was being battered by the waves. Now, they were fishermen, after all, familiar with the way storms could blow up quickly on that body of water. I think they would have known what to expect and how to get through it the best they could. I'm guessing they would have battened down any of the hatches they had on the boat and gotten as prepared as they could for the beating they were getting from the wind and the waves. But then, through the downpour and the rough up and down of the waves, they saw something or someone walking on the water coming out toward them, and they were completely freaked out. And let me tell you why they were so frightened by seeing whatever it was moving toward them. Commentator Ewan Russell Jones describes the source of the disciples' terror. He said, quote, in Hebraic, water represents much more than a mere physical reality. Whether it is the sea with its unfathomable depths, the relentless river in full flood, or the all-consuming deluge, there is something metaphysical about the threat that water poses to human life. Therefore, the raging waters of the sea around them were particularly threatened to the disciples in the boat, because it meant that the sea was against them. End of quote. They wouldn't have perceived someone moving over the waters toward them as some kind of friendly entity, but rather it was something more to fear. It's a ghost, they said. But then Jesus spoke to them, identifying himself, and he said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." There are those words of assurance, those words of salvation and hope. Do not be afraid. All throughout Scripture, both Old Testament and New, wherever and whenever we hear, "Do not be afraid," or "Fear not," we are hearing God's reassuring promise of divine presence. So now, once more, the disciples were hearing the reassurance of God's presence in Christ offered to them. Now, the disciples knew something they only suspected before. Only God could master the waters. Only God could overcome the storms and could bring calm into chaos. And Jesus had come through the waters to save them in their boat being thrown back in the sea. And from what they had seen, the disciples worshipped Jesus and declared, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Well, there are so many things in this story that a preacher can preach about. So many rich images to lift up. Going away to pray as a way to rest and be prepared for what lies ahead, I find that to be the most compelling image for us today. As you wind down the day's length until your pastor returns, the gospel today helps us to see where prayer can take us. I'm always amazed when the lectionary gospel story touches upon the reality of congregational life. Your pastor will be returning from 3 months away, and I'm pretty sure that she will have spent time in prayer during that time away. And I hope that you too have had opportunities for praying together and praying by yourselves. The opportunity is open to you to pray for your church and for your leaders and for Carolyn. There are so many ways to pray, aren't there? At Allenville Christian Church, where my husband Don and I are now members, the congregation is gathering in a forum setting during the month of August to talk together about deepening our discipleship. And just last week, our pastor, Diane Sweat, led us in a conversation about prayer and all kinds of prayer that we might engage in. And even though I am a retired minister, I really benefited from her reminders about prayer. And so I want to share three of those prayer practices with you today. One prayer practice that you may have heard of is prayerfully praying the scriptures, and it's called Lectio Divina, which means divine reading. And it offers us the chance to really focus on one scripture and to hear what God might tell us through that scripture. Now, after the news yesterday from Virginia, I was thinking about Jesus' words in Matthew 5, verse 9 of the Sermon on the Mount, where he tells people, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God." We are living in a time that desperately needs peacemakers. What happened yesterday in Charlottesville surely qualifies as something that requires peacemaking. Racists and bigots of the alt-right movement stood holding Confederate flags and flags with swastikas on them. What they stand for is unconscionable. I even saw pictures of men holding up their arms in the Nazi salute. Did any of you see that? As a person of faith and a leader in Christ's church, I believe there is something for me to say about how bad and wrong this is. Indeed, it is sinful. Teresa Ford Owens, our new general minister and president of the Disciples, issued a statement last evening, and I want to read it to you. She said, "Sisters and brothers, my heart breaks at the violence this weekend in Charlottesville, the loss of life, the dishonoring of children of God, the vile insults hurled, and the wounds of history reopened. I pray for the family of the woman who died. I pray in praise of the peaceful demonstrators. We cannot take backward steps fueled by hatred. We cannot be silent when the humanity of black persons is being assaulted and terrorized. The commandment in 1 John 4:20 calls us to account." Hear these words. "Those who say I love God and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this. Those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." And Teresa closes with these words, "And so let us love one another as we love God. With such love we are compelled to stand for justice and to walk in peace." Now, with the practice of this prayerful reading of Scripture, this Lectio Divina, you could take any Scripture, the one with the words of Jesus about peacemakers being blessed, or the words of 1 John about loving God and loving our brothers and sisters. Either one of those you can use in this prayerful practice of Scripture reading. And so you might choose one or the other and read it to yourself several times and then sit quiet. Is there a word or a phrase from either of the scriptures that speaks to you? Read it again and allow your memories and hopes and concerns to interact with that passage. Think about the passage in terms of what it means for life together at Linwood Christian Church. You might also want to do this prayer activity with other church members to hear how it is speaking to them. Might God reveal something to you together about life here at Linwood? Is there something that God might be directing you to take on in this peacemaking realm? Another prayer practice that I will share with you is called Examine, and it's pretty much like it sounds. It's something you can do by yourself whenever you want to do it. And first you sit quietly and you let yourself recall the last 24 hours. And then you slowly consider each of these questions. What are you grateful for? What might you have taken for granted in these last 24 hours? How has God been present to you during them? When did you feel you were most cooperating with God's actions in your life? Was there a moment when you were resisting God? In what ways do you believe God may be calling you to new awareness, to a change of heart, to different actions? And then you conclude with a time of silence. Now, doing this prayer regularly opens you to an awareness of God's presence in your life. Because if you're doing this regularly, all day you're going to remember that you're going to be asking yourself these examined questions at some point. And so you're going to start noticing what's happening in your life more attentively, and where God is in all of that. Now, I said three, and this is the last one. There are many more. But it's called body prayer, and it can be done during any time you're moving. Our pastor Diane told us that she often walks through the church building praying for the ministries that take place in each room. A minister friend of mine on Facebook shared yesterday that during her 3-mile run in the morning, she had prayed for people whose lives are being disrupted by violence. She prayed for the peace of the world in these difficult times, and she prayed for the youth that she engages with in ministry. Body prayer is good for folks for whom sitting quietly can be a challenge. None of us knows what exactly lies ahead, my friends. It could be choppy waters or smooth sailing. But when we are in close touch with God through prayer, we are not alone. And so I pray for you that as you and your pastor move forward in ministry together, God's Spirit will guide you all the way, and you will grow in that relationship with God through praying.